I would like to speak with you this morning about Jesus. As we finish up this year, Jesus, the master tongue tamer. And Jesus is a tongue tamer. There was a lady by the name of Karen Carpenter, 32 years old. She was a beautiful young girl. She died at the age of 32. There was no need for her to die. She died right here in America. And she starved to death. There's really no need for that here in America. On the day she died, CBS News told about her story on the evening news. And she did not die for a lack of food. She died because she starved herself to death. She had a disease called anorexia nervosa, a fatal obsession with weight control. And do you know why she had that disorder? Because one day in her youth, somebody said to her, "You are Richard's chubby sister." And several other people heard that. And so everybody started calling her Richard's chubby sister. And from that day on, she hardly ate at all. She looked in the mirror and she saw a fat person, a big person. And she thought, "I am Richard's chubby sister. I am fat." And so she starved herself to death. You could say she committed suicide. She killed herself. And you would be right, correct? Actually, you would be wrong. Because what about that thoughtless person who hung that label around her neck for the rest of her life? That is the person that killed her. That is the person responsible. Be careful what you say. Your words can be poison, or they can be words of life. Sweet words, wonderful words. And you don't know what sensitive person might be listening to your words. And you don't know that those words that you speak will go right into the heart of that person and will poison the wellsprings of that entire person's life and change them forever. You don't know that. That could happen. May God help us to know the power of our words. Come over here to Proverbs 29 in your Bible. If you have your Bible with you, Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. I think so often we do tend to speak in haste. We just let the words fly out. And we all have had a wonderful Christmas, and the best gift that you could give to somebody is your love. And make sure that your words express your love. Make sure that your words are words of life and not words of hate. What were Jesus' words in the Bible? They were words of life, weren't they? If you look at John chapter 6, verse 63, and John 6, verse 68, Jesus says, "My words are the words of life." I hope that my personal words are words of life. I hope that I can encourage somebody. The best gift that you can give at Christmas time is not the type that has to be wrapped in paper and it has to have a bow or a tag on it. The best gift that you can give is your love for somebody else. And the way that we can express our love is by our words and our actions. So make sure that your words are loving. Make sure that your words are sweet. You know, our words need to be edible. They need to be nutritious. They need to be sweet. So that nobody is satisfied with one. They want more. We've all memorized rhymes and little nursery rhymes when we were kids. My mother still remembers all of those. I don't. However, one of the most inaccurate rhymes that you have heard goes like this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is the most inaccurate nursery rhyme, I think, of all of them. Can words hurt? Words can kill you. They really can. Sharp words have hindered the work of the Church of Jesus Christ. Critical tongues have closed church doors. There's often a church down the street that has been planted because of a church split. And that church exists, and it's there because of the words, the evil hatred that was spoken to somebody else. Have you noticed that all parts of the human body get tired eventually, except the tongue never gets tired? Have you noticed that? Some people could talk all day long. I mean, they never quit talking. Look at Proverbs 18 in your Bible. There are words of life and words of death, and we want the words of life coming out of our mouth. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8. The words of a talebearer, they go down to a man's innermost parts. Have you noticed that a sharp tongue is the only edge tool that grows keener with use? The more you use it, the sharper it gets. Don't do that. Don't do that. I've noticed over the years that a sharp tongue and a dull mind are often in the same head. Be careful what you say. Before you throw that word at somebody, think about it. Pray about it. A young minister was driving along on the freeway during the rush hour, and the traffic was bad, and he was concentrating on his driving, and his new wife and their newborn son were there in the car and cruising a little bit too fast and not paying much attention, I guess, to the traffic as he should have. He pulled out and another car was pulling in, and they almost had a wreck. And his wife said, "Honey, we got a brand new baby here. You've got to be careful. You're driving for three people. And watch where you're going." And he said, "I am watching. That's why we didn't have a wreck." And she said, "You need to be more careful. You've got two others besides yourself to think about now. So be careful." And he became irritated. And he snapped back and he said, "I don't want to hear another word out of you the whole trip." So she stopped talking. 15 minutes. They drove along and nobody said a word. Finally, he jerked the steering wheel over, pulled off on the side of the road and shut the engine off. And he reached over and took his wife in his arms and he cried and he said, "I'm sorry. I've blown it." But you know, she forgave him, but it took years to get over that. Years. But words can hurt very deeply. Our tongues must be tamed. During a football game, the referee called a 15-yard penalty on the offensive team for unnecessary roughness. And after that, he paced off the yards and positioned the ball. And the player that was responsible for the penalty could not control his tongue. He came up and shouted right into the face of the referee and he said, "You are a sorry referee. I think you stink." So the referee walked over to the ball, picked it up, and walked another 15 yards and put it down. And he said, "How do I smell from here?" Our tongues have got to be tamed. James chapter 3. And beginning in verse 7, all kinds of animals, birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth, praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapefruit bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. You can't praise the Lord in the Seventh-day Adventist Church on Sabbath and go out in the afternoon and curse your brother or your sister or belittle your wife or your children. You can't do that. It's not the same spring. We've got to be careful how we behave. Let me illustrate. In a church, in a small village in the country, was an altar boy serving a priest at the Sunday Mass. And the altar boy was moving the cup, and he stumbled, and he spilled it. And he was sorry. And the priest came up to him and slapped him in the face and said, "You get out of here, don't you ever come back." And that man became, how do you pronounce this, T-I-T-O-2-2, the communist leader. Then there was another story of a boy. This boy was serving a bishop at a Sunday Mass. And this little boy was delivering the cup, and he accidentally spilled it. And a priest came right up to him, and with a twinkle in his eye, he said, "Son, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Someday you're going to be a great priest." And you know who that boy was? Archbishop Fulton Sheen. Have you ever heard of Fulton Sheen? That's how he got started. All depends on the words. Words of life or words of death. Words can kill you, or they can save you. May I kindly point you to a person who can control your words? You can't, but there is somebody who can control your words, and that is the master tongue tamer, Jesus Christ. He can do that. You turn your life over to Jesus, and you won't have to worry about your tongue. Your tongue will be controlled. If Jesus is living in your heart, because there's a connection. Somebody said, "You know, I would rather play with forked lightning or take into my hands live wires with their fiery electricity than to speak a reckless word against my brother or my sister." Let us always speak kind words, sweet words, gentle words. Words that are tender to each other. You know, if you can say anything nice about somebody, say it now. Say it before they die. Say it while they're still alive. My sister and I lost our daddy a couple of years ago, and we can't say anything to him anymore. There are many times I've thought, I'll ask daddy this or that. Well, that's gone. That's forever gone on this earth until the new earth. Far too many Christians omit the flowers until the funeral. Send them early. Say nice words to somebody while you have them. Because you never know when you might have a stroke. And we're glad Peggy is with us this morning. You never know. Say something nice. Too many Christians are sort of like an Arctic river, frozen at the mouth. They can say bad things, but they can't say anything good. Only cold things come out. If you think of a word that would lift somebody up, somebody who's discouraged, say it. Jesus would. Words need to be like candy. Words can be either like M&M candy or like vinegar. Either way, keep your words sweet. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 24 says, "Pleasant words are like the honeycomb. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. If you want to help somebody be healthy, say something nice to them. Say something sweet to them. They're health to the bones. Good words are like that. A minister was preaching and he said, you know, you catch more flies with honey than with vinegar. Well, that's true. And in the pew, a man's wife heard that remark from the preacher, and she put her head over on her husband's shoulder and whispered in his ear during the sermon, which you shouldn't do. She said, you know, I just love to watch your muscles ripple when you take out the trash. You sweet words, they'll get you further. And you might have to eat your words someday. So make them sweet, because then when you have to eat them, they won't be so bad. On the internet, I was going over some email this morning, and somebody said, this sermon that you preached, I disagree. I think we can lose our, we can't lose our salvation. And I wish that you wouldn't preach those things, and give me one example of anybody who has ever lost their salvation. Well, I took time to do that, and in kindness, I hope that you will never lose yours. We need to be kind. Use sweet words. And when somebody yells at you, lower your voice. Don't yell back. Do you know that you can control somebody with the volume of your voice? You can actually control them, and they can control you through the volume of the... You get somebody that comes right up and yells in your face, what do you tend to do? Yell back. So don't do that. You control the tone of the other person's voice by your voice. Jesus spoke softly at times when everyone was agitated. And psychology has proved that if you keep your voice soft, that you will not become as angry yourself. You are controlling your anger by controlling the volume of your voice. And they won't become as angry either. And of course, we get this from the Bible, because the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 15, verse 1. Shouting matches don't bring peace. That's not the way we get it. The person who is always blowing a fuse is usually in the dark anyway. If you speak nicely to others, you're going to feel better about yourself. And but for a worn-out feeling, carry a frown all day and see how that helps you. Proverbs 10, verse 10 says a chattering fool comes to ruin. I think so often we say too much. Somebody said, how can you be at one church for 21 or 22 years and not have been run out of there and tarred and feathered before now? I said, I don't know. They're very forgiving people, I guess. I don't know. When Jesus spoke to other people, their words their ears were blessed by his words. His words were words of life. Our words need to be that way. David said something here in Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25 and verse 11. David really put this in a picture. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Isn't that a good way to paint a picture in your mind? And when you speak words that are fitly spoken like that, you are placing in somebody else's mind a treasure. There was a Christian who went to a restaurant to eat. I don't know where it was. And he was sitting near a table and looked over, and there was a father and his little boy eating lunch together at the table beside them. And a little boy spilled his milk. He had ordered milk. And the father said, curse you. You are good for nothing. And he said, what good are you? And the boy said, nothing. Later, this Christian man became disgusted with his own son for a minor mistake. And he asked his son a cruel question. He said, son, what are you good for anyway? The little boy said, nothing. And then he realized what he had done. He said, I never should have asked that question. Then he thought about it and he realized that probably the question was okay, but the answer was wrong. It was a bad answer. And a few days later, when his son committed another minor offense, the father said, what are you good for? And before the boy could answer, the father said, let me tell you what you're good for. You are good for loving. And then every time the boy would make a mistake, the father would say, what are you good for? And the boy would say, I'm good for loving. And it changed his whole life. Parents, you control your children with your words. You browbeat them and they will go down. You lift them up. And you will experience a brand new boy or a brand new girl. You know, any good plumber will tell you that any faucet can turn the water on, but it takes a quality faucet to turn it off and keep it off. And how can we control our tongues? The answer is we can't. You can't control your tongue, but there is somebody who can. And that person is Jesus Christ. To control the flow of words, and there are an average of 25,000 words that we speak every day. To control that flow takes an awfully good faucet. Let Jesus Christ be the governor. Let Jesus Christ be the control, the person in charge of your tongue. Well, come over here to 1 Thessalonians. Here's something you may wish to underline. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, therefore, 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encourage one another and build each other up. That's what we need to be doing as parents with our children. That's what we need to be doing with husbands and wives, building each other up. When Cheryl Pruitt was 4 years old, she used to hang out in her grandfather's store. And it was an old country grocery store. And almost daily, the milkman would come by. And he would come into the store, and he would see her there, and he would greet her with these words. He would say, how's my little Miss America? And everybody thought that was cute. At first she giggled, and eventually she sort of became comfortable with it. And every day he would say, how's my little Miss America? And she even liked it. And soon the milkman's greeting became a childhood fantasy. And later it became a teenage dream. And finally it became a goal in her life. And finally in 1980, she stood on the stage in Atlantic City and was crowned Miss America. Now what if that milkman had come in there and thrown some evil words into her life? The milkman probably never realized the effect that his words would have on that little girl. And you will never realize the power of your words to influence people in a positive or a negative way, perhaps. But think about it. Cutting others down will impact them forever, but building them up will also impact them forever. So use your words to build and not to tear. Words convey thoughts, they convey motives, words can bless or curse, words can cut or they can heal, words can encourage or discourage, words can start a war or they can negotiate peace. Use your words effectively. Let Jesus use them. Cold words can freeze and hot words can melt. But warm, kind words are the kind that you want to use. Christ Object Lessons, page 341, makes an interesting statement. It says that if we commit our ways to our Heavenly Father, that His angels, God's angels, will choose our words for us. God's angels will actually choose the words for you and sort of put that thought in your mind somehow. The secret of a good Christian life is Jesus at the controls. Put Him in charge. And then your heavenly angels will choose your words for you when you get to a bad circumstance. Your words can motivate or your words can kill. There was a newspaper man who was visiting the Raiders football camp. And he had just come from Jack London's historic monument, and he read a sample of Jack London's prose to quarterback Ken Stabler. And he said this, quoting Jack London, "I would rather be ashes than dust. I would rather that my spark would burn out in a brilliant blaze than it should be stifled by dry rot. I would rather be a superb meteor, every atom of me in magnificent glow, than a sleepy permanent planet. The proper function of a man is to live and not to exist. I shall not waste my days in trying to prolong them. I shall use my time." And after reading this to quarterback Ken Stabler, he asked, "What does this mean to you?" And I love the answer. Ken Stabler said, "Throw deep. Throw deep." You know, the Bible is God's word. And what if somebody would take all your words and bind them into a book? What kind of a book would that be? Would that be good reading? What kind of reading would it make? Let me ask you folks a question. And I want you to answer. How many of you can go for 24 hours without saying one unkind word about or one unkind word to anybody? How many of you? That's awful. I saw two or three hands. You know, I think we have a problem. If you can't answer yes, then you must recognize that you have a problem. If you can't go for 24 hours without smoking, what do we call you? You're addicted to nicotine. If you can't go 24 hours without drinking, you could be an alcoholic. If you can't go 24 hours without saying an unkind word to somebody or about somebody, then you maybe have lost control over your tongue. Think about that. Psalm 141 in your Bible. This is my prayer, and I'm going to finish. Psalm 141 and verse 3. "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips." Keep the door of my lips. That's my prayer. You know, Jesus is the tongue tamer. Jesus is the lip keeper. Jesus makes your speech word perfect. Jesus can keep your words sweeter than chocolate. Jesus can do all that if only you will commit yourself and your life to Him. The words of Christians who have Jesus at the controls are sweet because the sweetheart of the ages lives in their heart. Invite the sweetheart of the ages to come into your heart, and your words will be changed because Jesus is living in there. Let's sing about words of life. Our closing hymn. And as you sing this, may your words be words of life. Thank you, dear Father, for giving us each a mouth. Please inhabit our heart, that the words of our mouth may reflect Jesus Christ. At this Christmas season, we give our lives to you. Please control all that we do, and may we reflect Jesus more fully. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.